What's up, soccer fans? Mike Guglielmi back at you. Episode number 226, season 5, episode 2 on tonight's episode. We're going to be talking about all kinds of transfer news and notes. Lots of moves out, lots of moves in. We're also going to discuss some rumors, and of course, the MLS Super Draft is coming up tomorrow. We're going to talk about that. And then Camp Cupcake, USMNT January Camp. We're going to go over that. Should the USMNT even keep bothering with that January camp? We'll discuss that all and more on this episode of Sons of a Pitch, an American soccer podcast, episode number 226. We've got Crypto Joe, Rocky, Wife Children House, Brother BKL in the house. Thanks for jumping on, guys. Let's get right into the action. If there's anything you want to talk about, let me know, and we will put that up in the episode. Again, we're ready to rock. All right, first things first. The big news of the day, Diego Valeri, this one's for you, Rocky. Diego Valeri returning to Lanús in Argentina. Looks like it's going to happen here. This is trouble for Portland Timbers. I mean, I guess you kind of expected it. We've been talking about the Portland Timbers, and they've just every year seem to keep having a chance at glory, but when is that window going to run out? Well, I think it's time. I believe it's time that the window has run out on the Timbers. And Rocky, you're going to have to correct me if I'm wrong, but Valeri going. Blanco looks like he might be on his way out. Some other moves and whatnot. It's going to be interesting for the Timbers. Luis Angel Ocampo in the house. LAFC, we got a couple notes to talk about with LAFC tonight. And Rocky says, not really, his game has gone downhill fast. It has, Rocky. It has gone downhill. But that's what's kind of questioning to me is Lanús in Argentina. I mean, is this just kind of like one of those, like, sign him and then he retires with Lanús? You know, sometimes you see that in Major League Baseball, in the NBA, in the NHL, NFL, that kind of stuff. You see these guys go and sign a short contract with the team that they kind of came up with. Maybe that's the case with Diego Valeri there and Lanús, but either way, it hurts for the Timbers. He is under contract for one more year with the Timbers here in 2022, but it looks like that's going to be the end of the road for Diego Valeri, Mr. Portland Timber, if you ask me. I mean, when I think of the Timbers, I think of Diego Valeri. All right, guys, hit that like button down below. Hit that subscribe button if you're new here, and let's get this thing continue to grow here. We're in January. This is the dead of the off season here, and I can't wait until we get to the end of January for some of these World Cup qualifiers, and of course we'll be talking about those if time permits at the end of the episode. Another move that I want to talk about is Albert Rusnak. He has announced officially that he will not return to RSL. We all pretty much knew that. But there's been kind of rumblings. Where in MLS is he going to go? There was some Saudi Arabia talk. looks like Seattle. Looks like it's pretty much a done deal. Just waiting on the announcement. But Joel Hampton in the house. What's up, man? How you doing? JBL speaker lover in the house as well. Love it. Love it, guys. Thanks for jumping on, guys. Smash that like button down below if you're just joining us. So Rusnak to Seattle. This is if this does get done. That really, really nice. That is really, really nice for the Sounders. Add him into that midfield with Ladero. Add him into that midfield with Jao Paulo, with Jordan Morris. Jordan Morris kind of a winger, more of a forward. But still, you put Rusnak into that middle of that that offensive midfield, that's going to be very, very dangerous. It's going to be good for Seattle. Let's put it that way. In Seattle, they never rest. They never stop. Disappointing run this year, getting knocked out in the first round of the playoffs by RSL and Albert Rusnak. Maybe they're like, hey, if you can't beat them, join them, right? But kind of the other way around. I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say. Rocky says, Miram at least staying with RSL. There you go. Justin Miram at least staying with RSL. RSL, new ownership group. A star-studded ownership group, kind of headlined by Dwayne Wade, formerly of the Miami Heat. I don't even know what team he played with last, if he was going and jumping on, a bunch of those ownership bandwagons there that he was doing there towards the end of his career with the NBA. But Dwayne Wade in the house, and we'll see how RSL goes. They're no longer under league control, so that's good for the league. But RSL, hopefully they can start to turn things around, and maybe this new ownership group will have them start spending some money and bringing in some good players, especially when they were able to do what they did with such a low payroll being run by the league. Maybe, just maybe, we'll see something come out of that. But that's that for Ruznak and RSL in Seattle. Another one I want to talk about, Joseph Martinez wants to retire in Atlanta. Atlanta United, is this a good move, a bad move? Joseph Martinez has not been the same since that ACL injury when he went down in Nashville. And, man, you kind of see the trend here. I mean, Joseph Martinez, do you want to put him in the same boat as Jozy Altidore? No, not really. But the same type of aging striker who's not the same as he once was, is that what you want to see in Atlanta? Either using a DP spot or, just being part of that roster and part of that salary cap. Joseph Martinez is, I don't know. I think he's done, man. I think he's done. That injury has really tore him up. He has not been the same player since, and I'm not impressed. And what this reminds me a lot of is Sebastian Giovinco with TFC. When Sebastian Giovinco was going into his last year of contract with TFC, he was kind of saying the same thing, right? What the fans want to hear. Hey, I want to die here. I want to retire in Atlanta, in Toronto for Sebastian Giovinco. But I don't know if in MLS, I don't know if that's the right move to put that money there. All right, there you go. We got only Ace Can in ColorCast. Again, guys, we are on the ColorCast app as well. So if you've got the ColorCast app, stop by on there. Hit that like button. Smash the hell out of that like button over there as well. You guys joined the football Discord yet? Only Ace, I did. But I'm an old dude, man. I'm 35. I'm 35. Actually, I think I'm 36. I'm 36 going on 37. I can't remember how old I am because I feel like I'm 26. But I don't really get this Discord thing, man. Like I got three screens, computer screens here, and I'm on YouTube and Facebook and all these other things. But Discord, I just can't quite figure it out. I tried to do it with one of my other channels that I have on YouTube and whatnot. But hey, you know what? I don't know. I just can't quite get into the Discord thing. I'm sorry. So, yeah, there's that. All right, now, let's keep this moving here. Wife Children House says, I'd love to see Joseph stay in Atlanta, but at 28 years old, for how much money? Right, exactly, Nick. If he's going to want big money, he's going to want to stay on DP money. I don't see Joseph saying, yeah, give me a low-end TAM deal. I don't even know if I'd take Joseph on a high TAM deal right now, especially with how he's been playing lately. So we'll see what happens with those negotiations going forward here. But we'll see. There you go. All right, so I get you, mate. We mainly do it so we can help each other schedule games and join each other's cast. Man, I got to get better at the ColorCast thing, man. I do have to admit, I've got to get better at the ColorCast thing. I do these Monday night episodes on ColorCast here, but I haven't been doing a ton of games on ColorCast as of late. But I need to get better at it. All right, we got Rocky says he could get better, but I still don't see them being anywhere without Elmiron, etc. player to help him, or Elmiron-esque player to help him. No, 100%. They do need some help in that midfield. I don't know if the answers are what they have right now. They've got to do a little bit better there to get that ball into Joseph Martinez. When they lost Gressel, that really, really hurt. That team. I mean, Joseph Martinez's production went way down as soon as Julian Gressel left. Same time as Pitty came in, but there was all the coaching changes, all that kind of stuff. So, we'll see what happens there. We'll see. JBL Speaker Lover says Marcelo Flores might be playing for Canada or Mexico national team. Well, we don't know. He has been leaning towards Mexico. However, Canada's trying to get him. They did invite him to the January camp, which did get canceled, and we'll be talking about that cancellation coming up here towards the end of the show. But, man, I don't know. Marcelo Flores, great talent. I hope he picks Canada over Mexico. That's as a Canadian fan myself. So we'll see what happens there. But Brother BKL's got a question here. What do you got here? Do you hear Cristiano Ronaldo might be leaving Manchester United? I heard he demanded Man United to sack head coach. If not, he leaves. That just goes straight to Chris Armas. I think the fact that the entire team, as soon as Ralph Ragnick came in and he appointed Chris Armas, which again, you can't put lipstick on a pig and turn it into a supermodel, all right? You know, it's a mess. It's a mess at Man U. When you hire a guy like Chris Armas, who ran two MLS franchises into the ground, that's what you're going to get. So, Ronaldo, we'll see what happens with that. But I'm, as you guys all know, I'm not a big European soccer guy. I don't know a ton about it. It's all about CONCACAF here for me. But we'll see what happens. I just can't wait. I just keep hoping that Man United keeps losing because I can't stand Chris Armas. Can't stand him with what he did to my TFC going through there. So, all right. Here we got, there you go. Marcelo Flores definitely raising the level of whatever team he commits to. USMNT need to keep an eye on him. Make sure they can keep matching, exceeding Canada and Mexico's talent. 100%. I think they've got to keep up with Canada now. I think Mexico has dropped below Canada for the young players and whatnot. So I expect to see, you know, Mexico's not done by any stretch of the imagination. But I do believe that the United States has passed them, and Canada is right there, probably past them with some of the young talent for sure. All right, next move, I want to talk about the LA Galaxy. A couple moves, one that they've made, one that they're looking to make. They're looking to sign Teji Savigné, the Montpellier captain from France. Greg Vanney loves him some Ligue 1. All right, Greg Vanney played in Ligue 1, and Vanney just absolutely loves the French league, as you've seen with Cabral, with Samuel Grandsir, with some of the players that he brought in with TFC when he was coaching with TFC. He loves to bring in the guys from France. This is a move where I could see happening. I don't know much about Teji Savigné, the Montpellier captain, or Montpellier, whatever it is, but apparently it'll be a DP spot most likely. So they have one DP spot left for the Galaxy because of Jonah DeSantos moving to Club America. Is this guy kind of what you want to go after? I mean, I will never doubt Greg Vanney. After what he did with Toronto FC, I'll never doubt what he does. But I kind of have to question it a little bit from an LA Galaxy standpoint, all right? You've got a team like Toronto FC going out and getting Lorenzo Insigne. You've got a guy, LA Galaxy, I mean, remember Zlatan? Remember, the big-name players that they bring in? Is that where you want to use your DP spot on? I would think they would probably want to go a little bit bigger than someone like Teji Savigné, although he might be a great player to bring in to fit in with some of those players from Ligue 1, right? So we'll see there. Another move for the Galaxy before I get to the comments that are coming in here. We got Connor McCabe in the house. What's up, Connor? How you doing, man? Just got to give you a shout-out, brother. I listened to your call. I was really impressed, man. I've watched some of your lives, and I was like, oh, man, hey, dude, you did like 20,000 times better on that call for that high school basketball game for your school than you did on your live. So if you bring that type of heat and that type of energy to your lives, man, it's going to be awesome. Another move for LA Galaxy, Raheem Edwards signs with the Galaxy. He is now a G. Because, you know, they said that. They're like, oh, Raheem Edwards is a G. The marketing gigs in MLS continue to crack me up. But a great signing for the Galaxy. Raheem Edwards is so versatile. He can play anywhere on the pitch. I love Raheem Edwards. I thought he has gone to crap since he left Toronto FC back in 2017, going into 2018. But, man, Raheem Edwards, a great pickup. He reunites with Vanney, right? I was concerned about him coming back to TFC because of Bob Bradley. He had already been there. He had already played under Bradley. He knew about this, so I didn't think he was going to end up back in Toronto. I wanted him to come back to Toronto, but he goes back with Vanney. He knows that system. He knows about Vanny's game and how he likes to play, and that's where he succeeded. So expect to see big things out of Raheem Edwards with the Galaxy. All right, we got Cool Guy in the house. Cool Guy, how are you, my man? It's good to see you, brother. Says, is there any Albert Rusnak news? You just missed it, man. We were just talking about Rusnak. He has announced he won't be back to RSL, but it looks like it's going to be the Sounders. Looks like it's going to be your Sounders, but we'll see before an official announcement is made there. But Just wanted to catch you up there, cool guy. All right, next up, Orlando City apparently are ready to sign Facundo Torres. Sounds like a great player from Uruguay. Very Diego Rossi-esque. Very strong player. Watched some highlight clips of him and whatnot. Looked real good. Looked really good. Loosegaff says, hello, I am new. How are you? Thanks for jumping on. Glad you're here and hanging out with us. Make sure you hit that like button and that subscribe button as well. You're going to love the soccer content here on Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central. Glad to have you here. Loosegaff, I hope I'm saying it right. All right, so Orlando City, Facundo Torres looks like a great player. Orlando City's going down the route of Uruguayan players. Very similar to Diego Rossi. When you watch this guy play, seems very, very similar. I think they're hoping that he can turn into that same type of player as Diego Rossi. Kind of came into MLS, wasn't a well-known commodity. And came in young and turned into one of the better players in the league. So it's a reported $10 million U.S. transfer fee from Peñarol in Uruguay, which is kind of the main club there. So we'll see if this gets over the finish line and see how much he can help Orlando City, who's just rebuilding their entire front line. You look at Nani's gone, DK's gone. You got Chris Mueller went over to Scotland, right? So this team is completely rebuilding there. So definitely going to be interesting to see. All right, Only Ace Can says, I got to head out, but love the show and followed. Awesome, man. And follow Only Ace Can. Perfect, man. Will do, will do. Thanks for jumping on there on ColorCast. Come subscribe on YouTube as well. All right, so next up, we've got Rapids signing a couple Major League Soccer veterans, both with TFC connections with Robin Fraser. Drew Moore, a one-year contract. Same thing with Steven Betashur. Good moves, good depth pieces. Great guys to have on your roster. Great veteran pieces that are going to help those younger players develop that really understand the MLS game. I love the move from the Rapids there. Love it. Love it. Another move that they pulled off was they traded for Abubakar Keita from the Columbus Crew, $300,000 in GAM. Could turn into $450,000 depending on some of the incentives and whatnot. So should be a solid player there coming from the Crew to fit into that back line there for the Rapids. Speaking of the Crew, they did re-sign Evan Bush. Solid backup there for Eloy Room. So thank you, Connor, for that note there. Much appreciated, man. And all right, Charlotte FC going to be transferring Riley McGree to Celtic. Hasn't played a game, so don't really know much about this guy. Apparently, he's an Australian international and looks like a fairly decent player, especially if he's attracting interest from Celtic. But Charlotte FC, they've got to worry about their own team. All right, they've got to worry about their own team here and start putting together that team itself, because I'll tell you, the expansion year is not going to be pretty for Charlotte unless they start to make some moves, even though they did just make a move today, officially brought in defender Christian McCoon from Inter Miami in exchange for the number one spot in the allocation order. So look for Miami to be making some type of move here when we see that in the next few days. A couple players of note here on the Charlotte roster. Harrison Affel, defender who played for Columbus, as well Brant Bronico from the Chicago Fire. They've got Fox from Leicester City there as well. And then you've got Gaines from Austin, who looked pretty decent. Jalen Lindsay from SKC. McCoon, as I just mentioned. Mora, they picked up in the draft. Yordi Reyna, Cisnega as a goalkeeper. Walks as a defender. So they've got a little bit of a start here, but they need to do a little bit better. They've got to start bringing in some better players. Nick says, speculation is Charlotte signed Riley McGee, great soccer name, for less than $500,000 and flipped them to $1 to $3 million. Not bad business. So, agree. That is good. If you can flip that and make that kind of money, why not? I guess it makes sense. But, again, they've got to put a roster out in the field. So, we'll see what happens here. All right, there you go. I'm taking doing a watch-along for the draft tomorrow, but it's just going to be a long one, LOL. Are you going to do a watch along for the draft tomorrow, Connor? We're going to be talking about the the Super Draft here a little bit later in the show. But Fuchs. Now, who's making the bad pronunciations, Mike? That's right. I put it down there for you on that Daryl DK one. So, now this one maybe we'll see. But I don't know, man. I've never heard of the guy before. I know he played in the Premier League and whatnot, but I don't watch that stuff. You know that. All right, so next up we got Brother BKL says that Newt Nanu is officially signed to FC Dallas. I've never heard of him. I did see something that he played in Portugal. So maybe a decent player going to Dallas. They're spending a little bit of that money they made from Ricardo Pepi. Hopefully they'll be able to put some more in there because, man, they got to build a team. I'm sick of Dallas just selling all these players out and not putting a team that can win a championship onto the pitch. That's what I want to see for Dallas. I want to see some big-time signings from FC Dallas. All right, next up, Montreal-Bologna saga continues. Sebastian Breza, loaned back to CF Montreal from Bologna, a Canadian youth keeper. They also have James Pantemis from the Canadian national team as well. He's gotten a sniff in camp with the Canadians, a younger player. Two young Canadian goalkeepers for Montreal. What's the deal here with this Breza guy? I mean, is he gonna back up Pantemis? I mean, is this a competition? You know, you're trying to bring it in as competition there. Breza had 8 starts last season for Montreal. We'll see what comes of that, but I'm guessing a good move. If he was playing with Bologna or he's signed by Bologna, then maybe that's what we should look at. So, all right, Richie Larea to Nottingham Forest. Huge move for Richie Larea. Tough move for MLS. Tough move for TFC. Losing a guy like Richie Larea. I mean, man, I love Richie Larea. That kid is unbelievable. He's going to do big things in the championship. And there is a lot of talk that he will end up in the Premier League regardless of if Nottingham Forest gets promoted or not. It looks like there's some teams in the Premier League that are keeping an eye on him to see how he performs in the championship. If he performs well, if he helps them get into a chase into the top there, then maybe he'll get moved into the Premier League for one of the mid-table type clubs. This is a guy, Richie Larea, it was reported, and we don't know how true it is, but I'm assuming it's probably fairly true, that he had turned down being the highest paid outside back in Major League Soccer for this move. That's not something to be taken lightly. Here's a guy who came up through the draft, came up through Orlando, was in between the USL side and the regular team, did not work out there in Orlando, had no suitors, and he went to Toronto. It's kind of a last-ditch effort to save his career, and he has blown up, and now blown up with the Canadian national team, and he turned down a $925,000 contract to be the highest-paid wingback in MLS for this European move. He wanted to go to Europe. He had publicly stated that. He got his opportunity, and TFC did the right thing by letting him go. And there you go. So you've got a few more dollars to play with there if you're TFC from that transfer fee as well. But Richie, we're going to miss him. Nottingham Forest beats Arsenal in their first game there in the FA Cup. A huge upset. Nottingham Forest beating Arsenal, and Richie Larea was in the stands to witness his new team doing that type of business there. So fantastic move for him. I'm happy for him. He's earned it. He deserves it. And hopefully TFC can spend that money wisely. All right, we got Brother BKL says that there's a player from Guinea-Bissau made, this Nanu. Guinea-Bissau made 12 appearances for Porto since 2020. Okay, there you go. So a Porto player, you got to be good to play at Porto there in Portugal. So looks like a good signing there for FC Dallas. All right, DC United transfer Sorga to Sweden. Makes sense. It's a player that I believe he came from there. And then speaking of some Scandinavian type stuff, Ola Kamara. Remember, he had that little run there at, I believe it went to Norway for a little bit of time. Ola Kamara is apparently being offered in trade offers from DC United. So there's a lot of teams in MLS that could use a proven goal scorer from MLS. We'll see what happens there with Ola Kamara. I would not mind seeing him in TFC Red, that's for sure, especially with how thin that Toronto FC front line is right now in the current stand that it is. Now, speaking of forwards, we got one rumor and one signing. FC Cincinnati signed Dominic Baggi. He is officially a member of FC Cincinnati. A good signing for Cincinnati, but for me, they got to do better than that. They've got Brenner up top. You got a guy like Baggi. I hope he's nothing but a super sub type role to come in and get it done late in the game for them. But Cincinnati, they've got a ton of work to do. Wooden Spoon, winners for the past few years. They've got a ton of work to do. This is just the beginning. All right, another striker rumor is Adam Buxa of New England Revolution. Is rumored to be being courted by Pisa of Serie B in Italy. Apparently, a $9.5 million offer was made for Adam Buxa. His brother Alexander plays for Genoa in Serie A, and you know what? I think this has legs. Apparently, the agent for Adam Buxa is very good friends with the owner of Pisa in Serie B. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, if I'm New England Revolution, I don't know what they bought Adam Buxa for, but I'm assuming his price has gone up since then. So I would take it. I would take it and run with it if I was the New England Revolution. But we'll see what happens with that. Could see him joining his brother over in Italy. Another one to talk about today, Miami are in a sell-off, guys. A huge sell-off for Inter Miami right now. LGP to River Plate and McCoon traded to Charlotte. This team is just losing players left and right. They've got a huge rebuild going on there in Miami. Excuse me. We'll see what happens there with Inter Miami because they've got some serious work to do. Latest talks were possibly Luis Suarez coming over as a DP signing, but they've got a ton of work to do in Miami, and they're just selling everybody. Another one, FC Dallas and TFC trade for the number 3 pick in the Super Draft. What a move. This is standard MLS, ladies and gentlemen. Standard MLS. Toronto FC give up the number 3 pick in the draft to FC Dallas for $50,000 of GAM and Dom Dwyer. Dom Dwyer is immediately bought out by FC Dallas. TFC had two players they had to buy out. They had to buy out Dom Dwyer. They got to buy out Jozy Altidore. They had to find somebody to do it, and they used the leverage of that number 3 pick in the Super Draft. You can see what the Super Draft means to Toronto FC. Nothing. They expect nothing out of a pick. So for them to be able to get out of a horrible contract by Ali Curtis, which, oh my God. Dom Dwyer has not scored a goal in 2 years. 2+ years. Dom Dwyer is a joke. A complete joke. I can't wrap my head around how bad Ali Curtis is. Thank God he's in an administrative role with MLS Next. Or MLS Next Pro, or whatever the hell they're calling that league. Because this guy is a horrible GM. Signed Dom Dwyer for $81,000 worth of salary last season. Bumped him up to a $350,000 salary. You can't have a player on your roster making $350,000 that can't even sniff the freaking attacking third, let alone the net. So, man, thank God that's, you know what, I love the move by TFC. I love it. Get rid of that contract. Now you can buy out Jozy Altidore, and you got rid of two good contracts to be able to make some moves and open up those DP spots as well. So Teldo rumored to be going to Sao Paulo of Brazil for TFC. We'll see if that gets done, but that apparently is close to being done as well. It would open up two DP spots for TFC, and then they're in talks with Carlos Salcedo, they're in talks with Andrea Belotti, as well as some other players, Mattia Destro, some other players as well. All right, so we got Troy Polamalu in the house. What's up, Troy? How you doing, man? It says Roll Tide. I hope Roll Tide's doing well. I haven't even checked the score of the game yet. I hope they're doing good because I got some money on Roll Tide tonight. They were underdogs, actually, and I can't believe they were underdogs, so I put some money on them. Connor says, is the rumor Luis Suarez plays for Atletico de Madrid in La Liga? Yes, that is the same guy. That is him. I think he's going to Miami, personally. That's my guess. All right, so there you go. Brother Miguel says, yeah, it's perfect trade by FC Dallas plus TFC with 50K GAM to sign to add it up. They'll probably get more and replace. 100% they will, for sure. All right, guys, that takes us. We're about 32 minutes in. That was my little segue into the Super Draft preview. We'll talk about that right after the sponsorship break on the podcast side. We'll throw up the BetUS graphic here on the YouTube side. We'll be back to talk about the MLS Super Draft, which is tomorrow, and the USMNT January camp. Be right back, guys. This episode of Sons of a Pitch, an American soccer podcast, brought to you by Nice Premium Iceland Pure Spring Water. Also by Donovan Food Brokerage, a sales and marketing firm focused on food service sales in the Midwest. And lastly, by Skira, Icelandic spring water available at your local 7-Eleven. And now it's time for our weekly Chicago Fire update, brought to you by John Donovan. Take it away, John.
Mike, John Donovan here, talking about the MLS and the Chicago Fire. I always like this part of the season, Mike. It's just before the draft. The Fire pick towards the top of the draft, I think it's sixth. They're projected to pick a midfielder out of Notre Dame named Muhammad Omar. They say he's a very good passer, quick, but we'll have to see. I mean, in the past, the Fire have not partaken at all in the draft. If you'll remember, one time the MLS hosted the draft, ESPN put on a big deal at the McCormick Center, and Rodriguez gave the whole draft away for some GAM money. So the Fire and the draft have been dreary. I hope that George Hines realizes that DK, a lot of these guys that have been sent over to Europe, were college players. There's tremendous talent out of the colleges. I know that it's developing players like Philadelphia is doing, but still the colleges have some good players. Before I really get started, there's one player that I have admired since he came into the league, Diego Villari with Portland. I don't know how they ever got him. I mean, an Argentinian player came up, I think it was 2015 or 2013. Every time I saw him play internationally or in the All-Star games, he showed his quality. I mean, he won the MLS championship with the Timbers. One of the most significant signings I think that the league has ever had was Diego Villari. He's going back to a team in Argentina, so he will not be back with the Timbers this year. I did talk a bit about the draft. I hope and pray that the Fire take advantage of the draft. So this week, I had a chance to kind of look into Rafael Cedros. Speaks English wonderfully, a typical German, feisty fullback, a left fullback, 31 years old. He started in the Bundesliga 2, worked his way up to Cologne, which is kind of in the middle of the rankings. You have to wonder why they traded him. I guess in Europe, if you're 31, you're kind of the career's over with. He signed a 3-year deal with the Fire. I believe it's a TAM contract. So the Fire have only one DP on their team right now, and that is Gaston Jimenez. And old Gaston, I wouldn't be surprised. They re-signed him, and I wouldn't be surprised if they re-signed him to trade him. They did pay a transfer fee to get him in. He was not he has not been a good guy in the locker room at all. He and Calvo really sabotaged the squad. If you'll remember the Toronto game, a young player that had some probably some quality, Ali Seda. Him and Gaston missed the plane in Toronto. Apparently, they've been out drinking all night. I mean, they make a lot of money to kick a ball, and they couldn't make an airplane. Come on. I've heard through other people that work around the Fire that they feel that Gaston is very immature. So why they re-signed him, the only reason I can think of is they want to get something for him when they get out. So You know, the league is signing some tremendous talent. I looked at Orlando signing a guy named Torres from Uruguay. They're selling guys and developing guys. It's really kind of exciting. The Fire, by signing Seijos, that's the only signing that they have so far. And I try to think of a lineup in there. They don't have a center forward. They have the young kid named Duran coming up from Colombia. But I'm wondering whether the Fire are going to act like Dallas and Philadelphia and try to develop their homegrowns, which they have a lot of homegrowns on their squad this year. If they do that, I'm totally all right with it. The Fire was developed to improve the American soccer pro players. So with Patrick Nayarko working with the young guys and a couple other good coaches, I'd love to see the Fire like Philadelphia, where they sell a guy off and they have more talent coming up. It would be wonderful. The draft is Tuesday. It's kind of an exciting day. I'll be following it. Next week we'll talk about the player that they drafted. And the season, I mean the preseason for the Fire, I believe, starts in Orlando, January the 16th. I'm going to try to get down there sometime, Mike. It should be a good trip. Thank you very much for the time. I liked your program last week. Have a good day, folks. Bye.
All right, guys. Thank you, John, for that Chicago Fire update there on the podcast side. Much appreciated, as always. Now let's talk about the MLS Super Draft. Before we get into that, Brother BKL with the update there. 9-6 Alabama with field goals. Mike, four field goals. I mean, five field goals. All right. So a defensive game, just as expected. I actually went with the under 52 as well in that matchup. So that's looking good, too. All right. Now let's talk about the Super Draft. MLS Super Draft. This is something I just keep asking the question, how many years will this continue to go on? I don't see it lasting very long, personally. It's tomorrow, 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. There's usually about 5 to 10 players in each draft that will become decent MLS players. And I mean decent. I'm not talking about superstars. I'm not talking about guys. There's only 1 to 2 players per draft that will become star type players that will transfer out of MLS, usually in each draft. So to kind of run through that, well, I wanted to take you kind of, there was a good article on MLSsoccer.com that showed coming the best classes since 2015. You've got the class of 2015. This is what MLS Soccer says is the best class in the last 5, well, last 7 years, but only the 5 years that they're talking about. Kyle Aaron, number one overall to Orlando City. Obviously went to Beşiktaş in Turkey. Matt Polster, decent MLS vet. Not great, not bad, not, he's just kind of mediocre, right? Tim Parker, he went to the Whitecaps. He played for the Red Bulls. He's played for, I believe, SKC as well. Decent player, but nothing great. Christian Roldan is probably the next best player out of that draft. Christian Roldan went to the Sounders, still with the Sounders. A very good player, but I don't see him leaving MLS. Tyler Miller as well is listed here as part of the best class in 2015. All right, you're not going to get superstars out of. You're not getting superstars out of the Super Draft. It's not going to happen. All right? It's not going to happen. But you're going to get some decent players in the draft. And I think that's all the draft is just something to keep the pipeline going through the college game. And, to me, it's not much. I mean, you got a lot of teams that just pass, that just get rid of their picks, that don't even bother bringing guys into camp. The Super Draft is a dying breed. I don't expect it to be around much longer, but we'll see what happens with MLS. I think there's no this used to be on ESPN. There used to be some hype around it. There just isn't anymore, and I don't see it lasting much longer. E-Super One in the house said it was never much. How you doing, E-Super? Good to see you, man. Man, we'll see what happens with the draft tomorrow, but I don't expect anything crazy out of it. All right, Brother BKL says, plus, I'm really not sure if we could get a CB with 3 rounds picked New York City. Besides, there's probably a trade with GAM just like last year's Super Draft. Exactly. I think there's teams that value the Super Draft. There's your low-budget teams that are looking for low-budget players to fit into their low-budget squads. And they're willing to give up some of that GAM they're not going to use to spend on the bigger-type players. So we'll see what happens here. Wife Children House says, until every team is a solid academy, and until they drop the salary cap, they'll keep the Super Draft. I agree. I do agree with that one. Until they drop the salary cap, it's going to be around. But damn it, let's get on it, MLS. Let's get on that. Rocky breaks out some Timber signing a goalkeeper tomorrow, possibly Logan Ketterer or David Bingham. Okay. All right. Somebody to replace Steve Clark. I like it. Thanks for the update there, Rocky. Much appreciated, man. Another class, the number two class that MLS Soccer lists for the Super Draft, Tajon Buchanan, 2019. Tajon Buchanan, DeJuan Jones, Chase Gasper, Sean Nealis, Kamal Miller. There you go. Those are your type of players. You got one guy. One guy that's going outside MLS, Tajon Buchanan. DeJuan Jones might follow. Do I see Sean Nealis? No, he just signed a free agent deal with Nashville. I don't see him going. Kamal Miller, maybe, if he continues the upward trend with Canada Soccer, we'll see. But overall, not a ton of talent in that draft. 2017, the number three class, Miles Robinson, Jeremy Ebobise, Jackson Yule, Julian Gressel, Jack Elliott. Guys, these top players out of these drafts are standard, outside of Miles Robinson, these are standard, decent MLS players. That's it. You're not getting a superstar out of the draft. Number four class of 2020, Robbie Robinson, Daryl DK, Henry Kessler, Alistair Johnston, and then they listed Nkosi Tafari. Well, I've never even heard of Nkosi Tafari. I don't know who it is. I've never seen him play a minute in MLS. You got Daryl DK. There you go. There's your star out of this one. Robbie Robinson, he's had flashes, but not a great player for Inter Miami. Then you've got Alistair Johnston, Nashville, starting to come up with that, riding that Canadian soccer hype train into a move with CF Montreal, but I don't see him going out to Europe at any time soon. Another class of 2016, Jack Harrison, Keegan Rosenberry, Fabian Herbers, Richie Larea, Tony Alfaro. This one actually had, in my opinion, this is probably the best class. All right, you've got a player like Jack Harrison, who's now over in the EPL. Then you've got Richie Larea, who just moved over to Nottingham Forest. Very good player. Outside of that, the rest of the guys are pretty weak. That's probably why. He also considers Brandon Vincent and Andrew Tarbell, so that's probably why that class is down the list here, but not a ton of talent here. You guys get my point, okay? You get the point. The Super Draft, not a lot of hype, not a lot of great players in these drafts. We'll see there what happens tomorrow with that Super Draft. Another one I want to talk about is Generation Adidas. If I'm an MLS GM, the only player I'm taking is Generation Adidas. I will take a Generation Adidas player because their salary doesn't count towards the salary cap. That's the only person I'm picking in the Super Draft if I'm an MLS GM, period. Now, for this Generation Adidas class, you got Ben Bender, midfielder from University of Maryland. This guy could be the number one pick in the draft. Osaini Buda, a forward from Stanford. Eric Centeno, a defender from Pacific. Roman Celentano, a goalkeeper from Indiana. Kip Keller, defender from St. Louis. A lot of talk that he'll go number two. Isaiah Parker, a forward from St. Louis University as well. A native of Gurnee, Illinois, just close to where we are here in the Chicagoland area. And then Patrick Schulte from St. Louis. So a couple players from St. Louis. This is a pretty strong team there. So we'll see a few of those guys going in the first 10 picks or so. Also, Thurleflor Elfarsson from Duke, a forward from Duke. There is your Generation Adidas class of 2022. Again, that is the only person or player I would pick if I was an MLS GM. So let's take a quick look at the mock draft from MLSsoccer.com for tomorrow. They've got Charlotte FC taking Ben Bender, midfielder from Maryland we just spoke of. Number two to FC Cincinnati, Kip Keller. Number three, Toronto FC, now FC Dallas. The pick may change because it's Dallas, but they had Ahmed Longmire from UCLA. I don't see Toronto FC, even if they kept that pick, going with somebody that's not a Generation Adidas player. Houston Dynamo, Isaiah Parker, forward from St. Louis. Austin FC, Ryan Saylor, defender, Washington. And then they've got, for FC Dallas, Osaini Buda, the forward from Stanford. So see if he might make the move from six up to three if FC Dallas has their eye on that player. Another player, Chicago Fire, Muhammad Omar, a midfielder from Notre Dame. might be the pick there. San Jose Earthquakes, S.I. Easley, defender from Grand Canyon. And then Inter Miami at number 9, Farai Mutatu, a forward from Michigan State. And then rounding out the top 10, Kyle Holcomb, a forward from Wake Forest. Looks like CF Montreal, they've got Roman Celentano from the goalkeeper from Indiana as the GA Generation Adidas player there in Montreal. They're not taking that. They've already got two goalkeepers. Why would they pick another goalkeeper here, right? Not going to happen. All right, so enough talk about that. The Super Draft, again, I won't be wasting my time tomorrow afternoon watching the Super Draft. I'll read over some of the picks, see what happens there, and we'll go from there. All right, let's talk about, we've got about 10 minutes left here in the episode. Let's talk about the United States Men's National Team January Camp, Camp Cupcake. The roster is as follows. Goalkeepers, Sean Johnson, Gabriel Slonina, and Matt Turner. Nothing wrong with that at all. Matt Turner, you want to keep him, you want to get him into game shape here with this camp. You want to keep him going. You want to keep him strong in case they have to use him over Zach Steffen. Although Zach Steffen did get a little bit of time in the FA Cup or EFL Cup or Carabao Cup or whatever the hell kind of cups Manchester United is playing for. I know he got a couple starts. But Gaga Slonina from the Chicago Fire, this is a player, this is the perfect pick for this camp. All right, this is a guy who's a dual national with Poland. So the fight's on. Poland wants him. U.S. wants him. He's real. I believe he's 17 years old. Get him into camp. Get his feet wet with the United States men's national team. Let him build some camaraderie with the players that are there. I like bringing him in. Lots of talk, even in the transfer market, of some big-name clubs watching him. Next up, defenders. They've got George Bello, DeJuan Jones, Brooks Lennon, Aaron Long, Miles Robinson, Austin Trusty just added to the roster today, and Walker Zimmerman. Decent defenders there. I'm glad to see Aaron Long. I love seeing him back in. This is very much needed for Aaron Long, a rehab stint. He's been out injured for a long time. I like bringing him into camp here to kind of get his feet wet again to try and see if he can reclaim one of those starting spots with the United States men's national team, because he was there. He was a starter at center back for the A squad, and then he got hurt. Miles Robinson, I like it. Walker Zimmerman, same deal. I'm good with those pickups there for this roster. Also, DeJuan Jones, I like this pick. This is what I like about Camp Cupcake. This is about bringing players into the squad that have maybe had a good season in the domestic league, that are young, that may crack the squad eventually down the road. So I like this. I like DeJuan Jones, who broke out last season for the Revs. This is totally just get your feet wet and get ready for U20 competitions. And I like this call up here by the United States men's national team. Bernardo Lombrada in the house. What's up, Bernardo? How are you, my man? How you doing? All right, then we got some Esri. Thank you, Brother BKL, for taking care of that. I appreciate that. All right, next up, the midfield. A couple players that I want to point out from the midfield, but I'll give you the full list. Kellen Acosta from the Rapids. Cole Bassett from the Rapids as well. Jordy Mihailovic from CF Montreal, formerly the Chicago Fire. Sebastian Legette. Good God, isn't he done yet? Can't we please just move on from Sebastian Legette? Please? Christian Roldan, I like it. Get him back into game shape. We may need him in those qualifiers. I especially would like to see him on the field against his brother Alex against El Salvador. And then lastly, Jackson Yule. How does this kid keep getting shots? I mean, every time he's played for the USMNT, he's put on the red, white, and the blue. My God. He's horrible. Hasn't even really impressed with the Earthquakes either. And that's saying a lot, because the Earthquakes, not a very good team, don't have a ton of talent. He's out in the field, and he's not playing great. So Jackson Yule, I mean, is it a filler? Greg Berhalter just loves this kid, apparently, because him and Legette just keep getting opportunities, And I don't understand why. Allison in the house says, oh, some timeout action. And then, boring. Yeah, exactly. There you go. All right, Bernardo says, LA Galaxy has two new players and they play good. Who are they? Tell me who they are, Bernardo. I talked about a couple players, Raheem Edwards and a possible looking at that Taji Seva something, the French guy. But let me know, man. Let me know. All right, so midfielders, I really like seeing Jordy Mihailovic get a shot here. I think he has enough talent to flirt with a midfield bench spot. I do. I really do. The kid is good. He's got skill. He played well for Chicago. But he never really has gotten the push with the USMNT. So I'd like to see him get his feet wet there. Greg Berhalter maybe prove himself and get into Berhalter's plans as kind of a fringe depth spot for the A team. I think he could get there. Another one to talk about as well is Christian Roldan. I like keeping him fit for the World Cup qualifiers, especially against El Salvador. You can see him going up against his brother. I'd like to see that. And Jackson Yuhl, come on, man. I mean, there's so many other options. I mean, right off the top of my head, I think of Alfredo Morales. All right, there's a guy in form. He's played well for New York City. He did help win the cup. I'll tell you right now, if Alfredo Morales isn't balling out in that defensive mid spot for New York City, I don't know if NYCFC lifts MLS Cup. So Alfredo Morales, why not him? Let him into the squad. A guy like Leon Flack from Philadelphia, helping Philadelphia's midfield, helping that team get into a playoff spot. Matt Polster with the Revs, right? Decent player, MLS type guy. I don't know. I don't understand why Jackson Yuhl is still there. All right, so then eSuper1 says Leardom, Kelvin Leardom. Yep, he did sign with the Galaxy from Inter Miami. I actually forgot to mention that one, so thank you for reminding me there, eSuper1. Much appreciated, man. And then Wife Children House said these guys that'll back up injured starters for World Cup qualifiers will play in Gold Cups, Nation Leagues games. 100%. 100%. These are not guys that are going to fight for A-team spots, except for maybe a couple of them, maybe, like an Aaron Long, if he comes back well from the injury. Maybe a Christian Roldan, maybe a Jordy Mihailovic could get into that 18 somehow, some way. I just like him. I don't know why. I just do. But let's take a look at the forwards here before we get into some of the, you know, what should we even bother with this USMNT January camp anymore? Because the whole reason why it was created is no longer valid. So we'll see. We'll talk about that in a second because we've got about 3-4 minutes left. Forwards, Paul Areola, Jesus Ferreira, Jordan Morris, and Jossy Zardes. The names that really stand out to me. Number one, you've got Jesus Ferreira. Fresh off a designated player deal with FC Dallas. He's not going overseas. He's staying with Dallas. He picked up the bag. He's got the designated player spot. Can he impress Greg Berhalter enough to maybe flirt with being a striker for that A team? I don't think so, but he's a decent player. Jordan Morris as well. This is a guy who just coming off that horrible injury. Both knees are now bad for Jordan Morris. Get him fit. Get him fit for the World Cup qualifiers. This is a guy I could see coming in as, if necessary, to be on the wings in the World Cup qualifiers. Jordan Morris, a hell of a talent. He did go over to the championship. I love Jordan Morris. I think he could crack that team. We'll see what happens. So this is kind of, for me, this is nothing but a camp to keep players, some players, the MLS-based players, fit for the World Cup qualifiers. Matt Turner, Miles Robinson, Walker Zimmerman, Sebastian Legette, if he gets called up to that World Cup qualifying squad, which, history be apart, yes, he will be, because fucking Greg Berhalter loves him some Sebastian Legette. Christian Roldan, Jordan Morris, Paul Areola, these are guys that may end up in the conversation, come the World Cup qualifying roster for January's World Cup qualifiers. Three big World Cup qualifiers. Three very big. Going to Canada, playing in the cold of Minnesota. These are going to be very interesting qualifiers. And this can wrap, they can wrap it up, all right? I don't think they can mathematically qualify for 2022 in Qatar this window. But let's be serious. If the United States picks up 7 points out of this run, they're going to be in Qatar 2022. They're basically there already. All right. Now, if they can get 7 points, it's pretty much in stone going into those last three games. So this is a very big camp coming up. Now, the main question, should we continue with Camp Cupcake? The original reasoning was to keep the national team guys fit during the MLS offseason. And most of the USMNT A players are now overseas, right? Pulisic, Gio Reyna, you know, these guys, Tim Way, they're all overseas now. All right, there's the odd MLS guy that comes in, you know, that comes into the roster. But for the most part, 90% of this roster is all overseas. So they don't need a camp to keep these guys fit during an offseason. They're playing their regular seasons. Now, to me, they should just really, they should either get rid of this camp or they should transform it into like a U23 camp. You can't get in this camp unless you're under 23. Or maybe, you know, something like an MLS player showcase or a dual national type camp. All right, so if you've got some kids that you're chasing that are dual nationals, invite them in for January camp. Let's see how they roll with the USMNT. That's kind of what I'm thinking for this Camp Cupcake, because to this, it's no longer relevant, in my opinion. There you go. Brother BKL says, World Cup qualifiers, CONCACAF, continue January 27th through 30th. Yes, and then February 2nd as well. Can't wait. Can't wait for those ones. And there you go. Bernardo says, Raheem Edwards and Kelvin Leardom. There you go. All right. So, yeah, I do like Raheem Edwards. Kelvin Leardom, I don't know. I think he's past his time now for the Galaxy there. But that's just some bad memories for Greg Vanney. Wife, children, houses, need to keep the camp. Remember when Mexico was smashing the U.S.? They had so many more training sessions. I like the idea of reformatting it. There you go. I think it just has to be reformatted to like a U23 type deal. Now, speaking of January camps, Canada Soccer has canceled their January camp. They were originally slated to go down to Florida, play a friendly against Guatemala. They are now no longer going to do this. So, they apparently, because of COVID, I don't know. Stop being worried about COVID. For Christ's sake, it's not, COVID doesn't matter when it comes to the World Cup qualifying, all right? None of these guys, everybody who's gotten COVID or already has had COVID, it's not a problem for these young gentlemen. They're perfectly fine. They're in great shape. I have yet to hear about one member of any team die from COVID. All right? Hasn't happened. Now, look, grandma's died from COVID. We get that. It happens. But these players, they're fine. They're out for a couple days, and then they're fine. All right? There's more complications of players dropping down in the middle of the field from a vaccine for COVID than there have been from players being seriously injured by COVID itself. So why you're canceling your camp, getting into a very important window, is beyond me. Canada Soccer, you should have just kept it going. Should have brought these guys in and keep it going. But hey, their game against Guatemala is canceled. Their camp is canceled. They're going in completely fresh. The United States is going to have players that are fit, that are ready to go. The Canadians are not. January 30th, look out. Look out. That's all I'm going to say. I think the USMNT's got themselves an upper hand because of this. Just because of this. So there you go. It is. Canada Soccer cancels January camp training match over COVID-19 concerns. There you go, Brother BKL. It's a shame. It's a shame. It really is. All right, guys. We're 55 minutes into this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Hanging out on ColorCast, YouTube, Facebook, where your favorite podcatcher, whatever it is. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button as well. We'll see you guys this weekend for a live. It's going to be one of the Liga MX games coming up this weekend, either Saturday or Sunday. I haven't decided which yet. But we'll be live most likely for Pachuca, Guadalajara. But until then, we've got some FIFA 22 videos coming out for you guys on YouTube. And we'll see you guys very soon on the channel. Have a great night, everybody. See you later.